It's a story about the fake friends living in a world of make-believe. They dive into comic books and let their imaginations run wild and free. They're reading tales of heroes fighting battles with all their might.
Why would you ruin the beginning?
Because it's taken fucking forever. I can't even hear it if you're playing it.
Yeah, but the theme song was going. The song, music.
Oh, we didn't hear it. We can't. Alex and I can't hear it.
Okay, well, I was fucking starting the show.
Shut the fuck up. There was so much silence. All right, I'm shutting up now.
Oh, my God.
Play something then.
Right, I'm going to play something right now. I'm just going to hit fucking a random thing. I think I got to do it this way so you can hear it. Then maybe you wouldn't.
So we didn't hear squad, so.
I'm going to clip it out. I'm going to fucking show you. I don't know. This? Yeah. Okay.
You were young and your heart was an open book. You used to say, live and let live. If this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die.
Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left, AP18 himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, GW himself. Gear, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin. Here to tell you about some comic books this week and also some news coming up. What are you guys laughing about?
I guess when the song ended with Live and Let Die and went into the music, but on our end it's all a car crash.
It was gunshots, Al.
Yes.
I think that was a mock video. I don't think that was real.
No, this is real. This is a Guns N' Roses cover.
Yeah, dude, it peaked over here, so it sounded like gunshots. Like, it was like, live it. I was like, that's the best bit I've ever heard in my life.
I heard a car crash, but either way.
There you go. I was so confused. I was like, what's happening? It's just a song, bro. let's not waste any time here. I have to ask this guy.
No more time.
A couple questions here. Let's see. People, invite, Entertainment King. Here we go.
I don't know. After last week, I hope he doesn't show.
He'll be here in a moment. I sent you guys something breeding. Jesus Christ. You guys is laughing through me off so much. You know what?
Dude, that's what it sounded like. Play it for Corey.
Hello, this is hashtag guest host one. How may I help you this evening?
Corey. After this person says live or let die, let me know whether or not it sounds like a car crash or a gunshot.
Well, you turned it down too much.
What do you think?
I'm going to go with gunshot because it has that crack, 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 crack noise in it, you know? Like, man, a lot of kill
but
shots going.
Corey, you missed it. So, like, right as he's playing the intro, so it, like, does, you know, the first verse, and then it goes into, like, live in that die, and right then is when Al heard car crashing, and I heard, like, somebody emptying the clip.
And that's when I decided to start the show, and I was like, why are you laughing for? What's going on?
It's like, best bit of all time.
There you go.
And then find it wasn't a bit.
Yeah,
Corey
just played the actual song.
The Entertainment King from the entertainment capital of the world, somewhere outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Corey, I called you as quickly as I could to ask you about the news that came out about there's footage shown of Deadpool and Wolverine, and then also they showed some footage from Captain America 4. Did you read or see any of that?
I saw the one about Captain America 4 where, I saw it, so you saw it too, Wednesday Comic fans, but supposedly Harrison Ford goes, Captain America, dude, you need to get the Avengers back together.
Barf.
Just like that. So
I wasn't sure if it was
Sorry, that was a mid-representation of how it'll go.
That's weird that General Ross would say that.
Get them together.
What about Wolverine?
I did not hear about the Wolverine test footage, but...
Oh, my God. I only pay you more than these two combined for a reason.
You know, I know, and I was slacking because, I mean, I think with the Joker trailer and, you know, that Captain America 4, my distaste was more than my searching for knowledge.
Whoa, you didn't like the Joker 2 trailer?
No. I'm talking about Captain America 4.
How was that trailer? Oh. I did not see it.
Oh, it's really like good,
it
dude.
A lot. It makes me excited.
Yeah.
They're obviously talking about Joker part
four. Lay a dude.
But you could also argue that Captain America 4 is also going to be Joker. Just kidding. I like
Al. It. Al, did you ever watch Joker 1 with Joaquin?
No.
Dude. Oh, you would love it. Oh man. Did you watch Daredevil season 3 yet?
Yeah.
I've been catching up on X-Men, boys. I'm one issue or one episode away.
Yeah, did you just see this is so funny that Disney and Marvel fashion. Hey, we had one X-Men show. Guess what? We just announced 3 more are coming out.
Oh.
And I'm just like, yep. It's the X-Men way.
What are you speaking about? I do not know this, and we are part of the new segment right now. So if you'd like to
No, this is a new segment. Disney Plus is spinning off 3 shows out of X-Men 97.
Oh, out of that specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to do a X-Force show. What was the other one? There's 2 other shows besides that. What was that?
Isn't one of them Uncanny?
Yeah, Uncanny X-Men, and then there's going to be another one.
They did. I mean, it is their biggest ever release on Disney Plus in terms of numbers, how many people watched it. So it doesn't make me, it's not surprising me because, like, obviously, when Star Wars, The Mandalorian, was a hit, they just started making more stuff in that kind of universe. So
I'm just like, it's just the true Marvel way, you know, like one X-Men comic does really good, let's make 20.
All right. Well, Corey, I called you for that news and you gave me half of a story. So we're going to move on to the next segment here. You're still part of this next segment here.
Okay. I'm currently getting my arm knot off by Sabretooth, but, you know, just kidding. We had, I don't know what we'll call her, a savior. We'll just call her that to take care of Sabretooth, so we're good.
If you remember from last season, it was a season of the AI, right? And we had our AI helper throughout the season, and this person would help us on and off. And then the one I was using, I forget what his name was, but,
Todd with 2 D's,
Todd with 2 D's, and he was not smart enough. So we let him go. But we did meet towards the end of the season, another person, and they were way better. So I keep that one on retainer. All right. So that person stays there every once in a while. We need to do something. And I just like to see, how, like, obviously the whole joke last season was how this AI is never really going to replace anything because it doesn't really know what it's doing. It does put together something that if you at the surface level might look okay for some people, but a lot of times you can tell right away whether or not an AI created it. We're not at that level yet. But in that same vein, I did ask an AI last night to make you a theme song for your segment. So there are 2 different versions. I haven't heard these yet. And you just kind of tell it like how you want it to kind of sound like, what it's about. And I, for you, I, you know, you're Hollywood, baby. That's where you live in entertainment. So I figured you got to go like, you know, big band Frank Sinatra type. And so I asked to make that type of song for the Entertainment King, it's called. And let's see what it sounds like.
Stars all shine, there's a in the land of lights where the stars all shine. There's a man with a smile who's got the perfect line. He's the king of cool, the one who's in the know when it comes to entertainment.
He's the star of the show. He's got the
I mean, hey, it sounded pretty from perfect to me so far. To the rock and
roll hill. At least he said those are from the song to you.
Boys in the front row catching dreams and nods.
It's like an old Disney.
Spotlights on Corey. My theme song.
King of the scene. He's got the rhythm. He's got the
strength.
He wish he had rhythm.
You know, Garrett, sometimes all you need to do is feel the rhythm, feel the ride.
So, up on up, so Corey, that's option number one. It did make me two of them. So I haven't heard the other one either. So let's go ahead and I'll show you this. What, is it this one? Yeah.
In land of lights, where the stars all shine, there's a man with a smile. Who's got the perfect line? He's the king.
It's the same thing, just a different tone.
It's a little more swing, you know?
The tone's better, though. Comes to less robotic.
He's the star of the show. He's got the scoop on the latest thrill.
I like the second one better.
I do like the second one better too.
This one's
see, now
better.
You could always go simpler too, because I always pictured myself coming into the Entertainment Tonight. You know,
right?
ET. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
I got to figure out how to word that to an AI so it understands what I mean. But I'll try that.
Do
next
it.
Time.
Do it like the fake Jurassic Park theme. So instead of like,
I want to listen a little bit. I want to listen to a little bit more of this because I did say that the Entertainment King is Corey. And I'm curious whether or not it's going to actually say your name or not. So we'll see here. Let me rewind it here a little bit.
From the silver screen to the rock and roll hill, when the curtain falls and the crowd applauds, Corey's in the front row.
Wow. All right, AI.
Corey's sold. He's like, where do I put my blood?
You guys are missing the best part here. I will say this one, lyric-wise, is way better than the last one.
Agreed.
Because it actually is focusing that Corey's the Entertainment King. But this part, listen to the part right here. May I just play this part of your time?
What's the name of that AI, though?
I'll send it to you after the show. But here is, I think it's going to be the clip I cut out and play every time you come on.
He's got the rhythm, he's got the swing in his tailored suit. He's got
the style
so fine. Corey's got the muse. He's
there we go, the Entertainment King.
Yeah, if you want to send me that whole track, you know, I can listen to that.
I will. Yeah, you can you bump that shit in the car.
Wake up in the morning.
Yeah. Just how I'm going to start my day.
And I'm going to have to do this. Corey, I'll send you those, and then we'll try different genres every week and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just gonna, sign me up. Skynet, I'm in.
I'm just going to write the same prompt, but I'm just going to change what genre I'm telling it, and we'll see how that goes. So, Corey, I know you said you're going to these Spider-Man movies, AMC, right? It's AMC?
Well, it was that and Marcus, so I'm actually doing it at the Marcus Theater.
Right, okay. Have you seen, do they have any special buckets coming out or anything like this? You guys are bucket heads?
No, I haven't seen any buckets or really anything like that. I think they're just presenting because, I mean, I think they're doing a lot of movies because it's the 100 years of Sony. So I did see they are coming out with a 25-year anniversary popcorn bucket for Phantom Menace.
And I saw their AMC's bringing back the R2-D2 pop container, which we'll try to snag that if possible.
I will say this.
Pop container.
You guys, well, you know the...
Yeah, it's a container for pop, you dumbass.
The main...
This is very rude and uncalled for a bronze Patreon series.
Yeah, Entertainment King sitting in the front row without any fucking pop, apparently. Catching dreams and
Hey, first off, you know I don't drink pop in movies. I'd have to go to the bathroom every 20 minutes. So joke's on you, I only eat popcorn.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's like the Oscars or whatever, the Grammys. You can just sing them off.
Corey, this part of the song, it gets into a little instrumental. And listen to this fucking flute or whatever it is. it seems like this part of the AI was like the first time it was like, hey, let me make a fucking song. As Alex was stating, it barely sounded like it didn't try to sound robotic. And then this time he was like, you know what? I'm going to give him a shitty one and then the best one I'm ever going to do.
Oh my gosh.
I think they call that the piccolo.
Yeah, it's always more of a Vegeta guy.
Nice.
When it comes to entertainment, he's the star of the show.
Really?
He's got the scoop on the latest thrill. From the silver screen to the rock and roll hill, when the curtain falls and the crowd applauds, Corey's in the front row.
I mean, that'll hurt my neck, but I can be in like the fourth or fifth row.
It's metaphorical. It's saying you're always there first. You know, that's, you don't want, I'm going to say it. That's going to be top 10 for a while. So we'll see how they have to beat that song.
I do like it a lot. I do like it a lot. So it's good.
The Spider-Man film. Oh, that's what I was going to say before that part when you guys started arguing. The Phantom Menace.
A pop container?
The Phantom Menace. I feel like for your generation, and obviously I think we're in the same kind of generation, but you guys are the younger version of it.
Really, you're the 15 years plus version of it.
You guys grew up with the prequels. And I didn't grow up with the originals, but I grew up with the special editions, right? And then, like, sure, right before they came out, they the first time they ever released, like, a 3-pack of the original films, like, buy it now because this is the only time you're going to have this. And I remember those are the VHS copies of those movies we had. And even when special edition came out, like, we never upgraded to that one. We always watched the original. So what I'm saying is that's my trilogy, and this is, and then the prequels for your guys' trilogy. But I will say, episode one, even though it's been a long time, I never really enjoyed it, but the merchandise and also the theater stuff, like all stuff came up beforehand, A+, all of it. Like, yeah, you're telling me they're gonna bring back that bucket? I didn't really like that movie, and I'm about to kill somebody to get that bucket. Like,
you know,
I need Darth Maul and Obi-Wan. I mean, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn, dude. There's just so much stuff that looks cool in that movie. Even if the story, you know, itself, for me,
just catch me next year, because or a year or 2 years, because hot take, everybody, I like Attack of the Clones more than the Phantom Menace. Putting my street cred on that one.
Well, you also liked Eternals, so we know where your street cred is.
Corey, thanks. Corey, I'm not gonna.
I don't like sand. It gets places.
Hey, it's messy. It gets everywhere, but it's wicked.
Thank you. Thank you. I've seen that movie like 3 times, and that was 3 times.
Dude, when I was a kid, you know, they had the Go-Gurts that were the lightsabers. You would just go sit on the couch with the Go-Gurts and watch Attack of the Clones and maybe drink one of my Diet Pepsis that had Obi-Wan on it, you know?
I think it's because, like, the clones' weapons are way cooler than the bots. That's why.
Yeah.
Exactly. Droids, for a child, it's cool, all right? When you get old and cynical, yeah, sand is coarse, it gets everywhere. Yeah, of course, you know? You get it. He murdered children, Jawas, Tusken Raiders, who cares?
By the way, but, I've always thought those 3 movies are enjoyable, but they've never been better than the originals for me. And for you guys, I know that they actually, if they're not, some of them are, you probably feel are better or even up to the par of the other three. So I'm not saying they're not fun, though. They're fun.
Lego Star Wars prequels is better than the original Lego Star Wars.
Wait, what?
Lego Star Wars prequels is 1,000 times better than original Lego Star Wars.
Well, that's true because you're a Jedi the whole time, whereas in the original Lego Star Wars, you play as Leia with a blaster for like half of it. Right.
Whoa, what's that got to do with anything?
We need to end the Star Wars talk, otherwise I hear Alex getting the rope ready. So.
In the land of life. I don't hate that much.
Is that me signing off?
Right before you leave, and then this is going to be the last thing, and then we're going to move on to 2 comics. So if you came here for the comic books in a second here. But I also did this to make a theme song for our show. And originally, when we were signing in, I was trying to do it a different way, and these guys couldn't hear it. So we were going to open the show with that song. But instead, this is a good part because I was going to debut Corey's song. I do feel like, and I'll tell you this, I have heard our song. And I will say I liked our song until I heard Corey's song. And now that's going to be every week. We're going to put up the same prompt for make a one up with the podcast and then Corey's song, and we'll see who wins the week. But here's our song, and we'll see. Obviously, the three of us are going to be a little bit biased, Corey, but I have a feeling that yours has enough energy to carry you through a win today. So,
hey, you know, you're going to play, what's that one with John Ritter? Three's Company.
I did say to include something like that. It's a story about three friends living in a world of make-believe. They dive into comic books and let their imaginations run wild and free. They're reading tales of heroes
fighting battles with all their might. Like they're about to enter the reading rainbow.
Oh my god. Your PBS Man. Special.
Oh, shit. So Captain Planet.
Wow. You know,
I mean, that's pretty good. Where's Miss Rizzo, all right?
Is she it kind of reminds me of the Dragon Tales theme a little bit.
Yeah, listen, the lyrics are good, but I feel like the tone is off, and so we'll try to figure the tone out.
I think we need more like a heavy metal. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Wednesday comic fans, if you're under the age of 12, I guess you're in the right place. Everybody else, F off.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, wow. Well, I can tell you one thing. I'm speechless. I mean, I truly
This is no. This
can't
is,
find the words.
This is no. This is no. Got the scoop on the
latest thrill. From the silver screen to the rock and roll hill, when the curtain falls
and the crowd applauds. Now, is the part besides my name a real song, or is it all made up?
It's supposedly everything is, because there's two different modes in this AI, and it's simple where you just put in like, I want a song that sounds like this, that's about this, and then you can actually go in and pick specifically what the lyrics are. And what the genre is, and like a bunch of stuff. So,
what genre did you pick for our song? Like kids bop, or
no, I just told it a theme song, and that's My Little Pony. I guess that's what it decides the theme song is.
Oh.
So next time,
I would like you to, if it's possible, I don't know what technology you're using, but if you send me the sound clip, because you know, yeah, I need to start the day with this kind of energy. You know, like. It'll be my alarm wake up. Like, I will literally set it to my alarm.
Let's not forget the shitty version. All right? Don't get too big of a head. I feel like you're too big of a head.
I do. But I would like the second one.
You know what? I never listened to the... Because it makes two every time you ask for it. I never listened to the second one. You think that might be better for our theme?
Shameful plug. Non-shameful plug. That's got a little bit of acoustic going on.
This is a little, what was the...
This is the credits after the show is done. You know, you got your theme song is number one, and the second one's like, you know, you guys are running on a rainbow in the credits. For continuing adventures.
The engine Dragon Ball. just running on the dragon. All right, Corey, tell people where we can find you. I know Patreon, obviously, but...
Yeah, I mean, obviously on the Platinum Patreon channel. Don't subscribe to the Bronze if you don't want shit. So this is hashtag guest host one signing off. Stay classy, San Francisco, and sign me up for Skynet. Goodbye.
There you go. There's the entertainment king of... obviously the all of entertainment, and as you heard from our guest speaker, Mr. Bot Sinatra, he's always in the front row. He's always in the front row, which just shows you, if you see a guy in the front row, you just know that guy doesn't go to movies, right?
Yeah, it's a bad spot.
It is a bad spot. Like, if I see I'm on a movie and there's room other places, and I see people going to the front, I'm almost like, they don't have they ever been to a movie? Because it's way too
close. You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of like Superman flying and keeping his face up all the time. That would hurt his neck.
Shit.
It's the same thing, man. Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Garrett, we have a book club.
Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents
Here Comes Daredevil, number volume one, number six, written by Mark Waid, art by Marcos Martin, and Munsta Vincent. I'm not sure who that guy is, but I'm sure he colored it or did something. Number five.
I would say my favorite issue so far. Like, I thought everything was balanced, as in, like, the story. Like, everything rolled into the reason him, like, taking on this guy's case, into him doing stuff as Daredevil. Everything fit. Even, like, the side story with Kristen Foggy and Foggy's girlfriend. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed this issue.
I'm going to say the story was really good, or the writing was really good. The action was good. But overall, I'm not as big of a fan of the artistry in this book, in this specific issue.
Even this issue?
Even this issue.
I thought this one would be the one to turn you around.
No, I can't. Part of it is I can't get over the faces. Every time I look at Austin's face, I'm not sure who I think it looks like, but I don't like it. I don't like that guy's face, specifically this character's face. I think
is it because he's blind?
No, it's I don't know what like he looks like a bad guy from a movie or a TV show. The blind kid looks like a bad guy, and I'm supposed to feel sympathetic for him. But when all those bolts are flying through the window, I'm like, can't it hit him in the leg? Can't it take this kid out? I mean,
I was going to ask you, Alex. We had a discussion last week of how soon would Daredevil know whether or not he was being targeted, if he would hear and smell like the infrared or the laser, stuff like that. But it wasn't until somebody actually verbally said on my mark that he knew that they were there. And so I was going to ask you if you thought that was a good solution to him using his powers to figure out they're going to shoot him.
Bullshit. Because when he goes, the gun is usually what gives away. And oh, these three words. On my mark. One, the six guys that come in to beat the hell out of them or kill them. What's wrong with the 15 snipers you got outside the window that apparently can't hit shit? Right. They are not highly trained because they all shot apparently in the same fucking spot. And Daredevil can't dodge 15 shots at one time.
You didn't like the way he turned on the light and beat them up?
I like how he turned the light on. That was good. I'm saying, how did he escape 15 sniper shots through a window when he didn't even dodge the window? He literally grabs Austin and jumps backwards with him.
They're stormtroopers, man. They can't shoot shit.
Holy crap. No kidding. Even the stormtroopers at least did better than that.
What about the... if we see towards the end, obviously, a new villain stepping up to Daredevil. What is his name? God, I forgot.
Bruiser,
yeah, that's what I thought it was, but then I was like, yeah, that's not right.
Bruiser's- I appreciate that the bad guy is in Bullseye. We hired some mercenary to take out Daredevil and apparently a shitload of other people, and Bruiser's like, yep, Daredevil's on my list. Great. Great. I don't know, it was like, I want to not shit on this book because I've liked the first three issues, and I don't know what my problem is. Or maybe I am having one of those moments where fun Daredevil is already getting old for me, and I need it to get just a little more serious.
See, or that's strange, because I thought this issue had more seriousness that you would appreciate. Too. But I guess maybe the coloring and the drawing of the book maybe makes it kind of feel less serious to you than it would to me and Garrett. But
but even like when he's using his powers.
Yeah.
And like in the first three issues when he goes into the radar mode, and it maybe that's a Rivera thing to have focused more on how the radar works and how he can see stuff. I don't feel like Martin does as much of that. And I think that's something that's also kind of throwing me off, is I want to look, I do want to get into that Daredevil world of what he sees. Because even when he talks, or even when he says, you know, I hear the words, at that point in time, he should be able to hear these people's footsteps. This man can hear heartbeats from 15 blocks away, but he can't hear these dudes walk up 15 flights of stairs. I'm being nitpicky. I know.
I will. I will amend something I did say. I do see here actually via the art. He actually does hear the gun first before he says on my mark. So, but I am seeing what Alex is saying now, that somehow all the bullets went around him when he threw him back, and it wasn't like that. It wasn't close to him. It just went around him.
He dodged him intentionally.
Dodged him, yeah.
By walking.
By walking. Again, stormtroopers shooting through those windows.
Exactly.
Or throwing rocks. Maybe there are BBs at the windows, and only a couple of them shattered through.
Let me ask you guys a question, because I think it's intentionally framed this way to make you think this, but when Foggy's getting his clothes on and Kirsten is there, did you think that he slept with her until his actual girlfriend shows up?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Man, I'm just getting Foggy from Born Again and then this Foggy mixed up, because that Born Again one, remember, he's sleeping with Daredevil's girlfriend, so...
That Foggy is a douche canoe. This Foggy, I don't know if he knows where to find his dick at. So
whoa.
Even the girlfriend goes, your name is Foggy. So he might still be either high or lost on what he's doing. So no, at that point, now if he woke up, if they all woke up in the same bed, I'd still think it's Three's Company with John Ritter.
For Foggy. You don't think he has
Foggy. No, I don't think he has.
Man, I got this different impression. I thought Foggy, I was like, damn, this guy in Boarding In, he's getting together with that one girl, and then he has this girlfriend in this one. I was like, this guy actually is like the like kind of underscored man's man, like ladies' man in this series. And you think it would be Daredevil. I mean, he kissed that one married, or that lady getting married in that first issue. But then, you know, that was my really,
did she perfume turned him really randy. So he just was taking
the kind of weird though. Cause he literally just did it. And it feels kind of weird.
And then he tells her about it. That smell, it drives me wild.
At least Foggy out here is playing, you know, throwing on the game, and they're you know, still wanting to get with this guy.
I think it's one thing that maybe they haven't put it in enough times in the books. But a lot of the overriding, or not overriding, a lot of the words tell you that to affect Daredevil, you got to do the smells. Mm-hmm. Either make him really randy, so he just starts humping a wall, and then go shoot him in the face. Or like skunk up a smell and watch him go insane because he can't handle that much olfactory.
I will say this too, because... So, remember we talked about Born Again, and I had accidentally read the issue that... is before that series starts, and that issue was saying that he had, once he got like the chemical spilled on him, it enhanced his hearing, and that was a superpower. But then Born Again said that he trained actually to, he had normal hearing, he trained to enhance it. And then in this issue, he actually, it says that he actually got it from the chemicals, but yet he trained it to make it so that it wasn't, that he could, it wasn't so sensitive, and he can actually use it as a tool. And so I don't want the fuck to believe anymore.
I always imagined it was like in Man of Steel, where when he has a 13-year-old kid, you know, he's hearing all these screams and all these needs and everybody, and he had to tell himself to ignore it. Because in the movies, at least, when he goes to bed, he sleeps in the water tank to help dilute those sounds. It's not soundproof, but it's as good as he can get.
I feel like we're in the sensory weeds right now. You lost me.
Because
you can't see me.
Next issue, number six. Alex, how much does that first trade go again?
Six issues,
okay. So the next one will be the last one, and then who's up next?
I think it's mine.
You get it?
Is it you?
I think it is Garrett, so. Yeah, so he'll announce a new book when we talk about issue six, and we'll see whether or not the last issue in the Marcus Martin art run Alex will enjoy. But, you know, Alex, you go 2-0. I don't think you're going to get 3-0. You know what I mean?
No, I think I'm going to like half the book really well, and then the other half I'm going to be like, yeah, it was okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We'll see that. And also we're going to talk about this week, a little review of actually a book that came out. Was it this week or last week?
It was two weeks ago.
Feral from Tony Fleece and Trish Forrester, Tone Rodriguez and Brad Simpson, and also on the book credit in the book for editor design, we have Dennis Culver, Lauren Herda, Erica Snaz, and Sarah Richard. I feel like I'm butchering all these last names. But this is the book that we had interviewed Tony Fleece from SuperCon of last year, and we were discussing a little bit, kind of really in vague terms, this book. He told us more off air than he did on air about this book. And so the first issue came out. We thought we would review it. I read it today. Did you guys, Garrett, did you read this when it came out, or did you read it today?
I read it when it came out, and I remember what happened because it was pretty awesome. I mean, it took, well, so, you know, you go into this thinking it might be similar to Stray Dogs, which it's not. I mean, we knew that because we interviewed Tony, but it's still, it's got a lot of that same look and feel to it. But this is basically like rabies zombie for cats, and it's very cool. Like, I think it was a great way to open up the issue. And like, when we got to the cliffhanger at the end, I was just like, boom, that's the first issue. Like, it was a lot of fun. And I can't remember if he said it takes place in the same world. I don't think it does, but it's still,
I thought it did. I think so.
Well, still, that's pretty awesome. I mean, like, the art is just so on point, and the story was just captivating. And, you know, even so, when they're looking, what was the cat that got lost in the beginning's name? Was it Lucky?
Lord.
Yes, Lord. So, like, the whole time, Lord, you know, you can't find him. And then he, like, finally pops up, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that was pretty, it kept me in suspense. So, what do you guys think?
It was good. Like, the issue was good enough to keep me excited for the next issue. But as for the cliffhanger, I half expected that one of the three cats was going to get bit or scratched and end up having rabies, essentially. I was impressed that the three foxes killed that raccoon and then took after the cats. I liked it. The art was phenomenal. But I almost needed just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
The foxes eating in the raccoon, you're saying that they should have went for the life, like the two cats, because they're bigger, or what?
No, I'm just more impressed that they
killed the raccoon first. What the fuck's going on?
They killed the raccoon first, whilst the other cat was still fighting it, but they all three ganged up on it. And then I did enjoy when they all looked up after killing it, the one fox has the raccoon arm in his mouth. Very, very gory, but not like gory, like there's too much blood, but there was no minimizing the raccoon arm in the fox's mouth. And then the dead body that had flown from the car lands on the three foxes, or at least the one fox.
I'll say I enjoyed Trish's art for him also. Yeah, Stray Dogs, as you were talking about, earlier, Garrett. I think, that style I really do enjoy. We talked a lot about that book when we interviewed Tony Fleece. But they're back together to make this a new series, and I do enjoy that. It did went a different direction than I thought. It's a lot darker, I feel like, in Stray Dogs. Well, Stray Dogs started very very like mysterious, and you didn't know exactly what to think. And there's a little bit of humor in there until you kind of realize what's going on. But this one right away starts into being very serious and almost horror-like. To be like that these animals are going rabid, and it almost becomes like a zombie story set in the animal universe. And that kind of intrigues me. I mean, obviously it has a good enough premise that we can get a lot out of this, which I'm hoping that we do. But I will agree with Alex at the end of the book. I felt that was a little on the nose, but hopefully from talking from Tony, where he gains his inspiration, we talk a lot about like the things that he likes and stuff like that. Hopefully he knows. There's no way he doesn't know that. Obviously, that's how a lot of things go, and I think it's just gonna curb our expectations when something happens from that. At least that's what I'm hoping right now. If we had another chance to interview him, I would ask him, and I guarantee you that, you know, obviously we talked a lot about how to make things different and how to make things feel different when there's, you know, really everybody's kind of just remixing everything that's ever came out before, and how you kind of make that feel different. So that's a little plug, you know, go back there and listen to that interview if you want to.
When I first read the first part of the issue, all I could think about is Stephen King's Cell, when everyone who's on their cell phone at one point in time gets turned into a bloodthirsty monster.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, now that you're talking about this, Alex, do you think that the humans are affected by something different? Or like, why?
Well, I don't know, because at the beginning of the issue, they're talking about that this is the worst case they've ever seen.
Right.
And, I mean, even at the beginning of the book or at the end of the book, I can't remember where the placement is, it tells you what rabies is and that rabies is passed from saliva, scratches, and bites. But I'm curious to know, can the humans be claimed by, I mean, humans can get rabies.
Right.
And once you start to show symptoms, it's very hard for people to cure it. You can get 7 shots in the gut and it's potential that you can beat it, but it's not guaranteed. I'm curious to know, is this rabies or is this zombified creatures, or much like in Last of Us, it's the cordyceps fungus. Obviously it's not taking over their faces and turning them into a fungus kind of creature, but it's that same idea at least. So I am excited to see where it goes with the humans. I do hope they make more of an appearance.
Right.
And not just, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to also ask as a follow-up question for you both, was that if you think, you know, in Stray Dogs, even though one of the humans kind of almost is like the main antagonist, he kind of is more like in the background for most of that series, and whether or not you think the humans will, I mean, I don't think it's ever going to focus to all of the human story, like from the human's perspective, but I'm just curious how much you think that the humans would be involved. Or would it be the same like that before, or you think that we'll see a lot more than that to actually get an idea of what's going on?
I think initially we won't see him as much, but I think they'll start to trickle in. I mean, this is supposed to be an ongoing too, which is really exciting. It's not going to be a limited series. So, I imagine they're not going to be stuck in that forest forever. So they're going to be going to different places. And I feel like we'll get some human interaction at some point.
Well, I figure we're going to eventually have to hit a city. And it won't be necessarily humans talking. It's going to be humans over the radio talking to each other. And that's going to fill out what's happening in the human realm. Or whether we see dead. But I don't know. I am excited to see where we go from issue one. And I'm not trying to be finicky on what I expected from the book. It was very good. The art was very, very superb. I don't want all the cliches. Oh, one of the main characters got scratched. And then the eyes start to turn. Are they going to be immune to it? Is it going to be where the other friends have to either decide to ditch the friend that got bit? I want to know more. And I think that's my thing is I just need a little bit more to have satiated my hunger for this book.
Do you have rabies?
Hey.
Whoa.
Yeah. You're acting pretty feral.
Hey.
I tell you what, if I had rabies, I would bite you.
There you go. Take him out by the legs.
Before we move on, I do want to push for Tony as well. He just had another book come out from Boom Studios yesterday. It's called Uncanny Valley. So it's a new 6-issue limited. So check that out as well. That just came out by him. So
there you go. Tony Fleece and Miss Forster on that book there. Stray Dogs was the first one. Go back and read that. I do see. Was it a new hardcover, or what was that at the end there?
It's a limited series.
No, Stray Dogs. Collect issue 1-5 at the end. I think it's just in general, just an ad for the book, for that book there. I was going to say, if you're curious about the first book that he wrote, there's an ad for it in this issue. So there we go. Fleece, Forstner, Rodriguez, and Simpson. Issue number 2 is actually showing a quarantine. They find a quarantined little yellow tape there, so we'll see what that actually entails. So nice little quote at the end from Jeff Johns. I thought that was really good, cool too. So Jeff Johns, where are we talking about him? Actually, he's doing stuff at DC. I just haven't read any of it recently. So WednesdayComics.com is the website. You can go to Spotify, Apple Music, Google. Oh, sorry, adios. Anything else that has podcasts and find our podcast, or just go directly to WednesdayComics.com, and that's how you can subscribe to the show. Also, make sure to visit our sponsors, RainbowComicsAndCards.com. That's RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Lincoln, Nebraska. That's RainbowComicsAndCards.com for all your comic book needs, sports cards also, and board games, and action figures, pop figures. you know, whatever you like to see. Also, go to RootsOfTheSwampThing.com, RootsOfTheSwampThing.com for more information on the Avatar of the Green and also a celebration of Mr. Green Man himself, Swamp Thing. John Boylan, the owner of that site, is the Guinness Book of World Record holder for most Swamp Thing memorabilia. So if you want to see what that looks like, that's also on RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. What the heck? My cat sneezing in the background. You think they get fucking rabies?
Oh, jeez. He heard you. He's coming for
Listen,
you.
I didn't even know he was behind me until he started sneezing. And I almost thought, it's my turn. It's going to be like those foxes and that raccoon. He's going to have my arm in his mouth. So find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Rainbow Comics, at Wednesday Comics, at Garot2188, and at the AP Keaton. Find us on there. And if you'd like to... Oh, I was going to say this earlier. And I think we got cut off by Corey, but that page I sent you guys, I'm reading this storyline called Officer Down, Greg Rucka, Ed Brubaker. It's like basically GCPD, but it's like before that book came out, when Commissioner Gordon gets shot. And I sent you guys a page from, I think it's a Robin issue that's in that run. And boy, there's some dark days back there. You know, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, make fun of an artist, but I think, Alex, I'm thinking that you had a shot back then, 2001.
Jeez.
I mean,
I don't. You sent it to us, and I didn't think it was nearly as bad.
Did you see Batman?
Yeah, but
you don't think you could draw that the same as Equi?
No, no. But I also
you think it's the bad. Lines, or do you think it's a coloring issue?
I think it's a coloring issue. I think there wasn't as bad as, I mean, we've seen worse. We've seen that Miles Morales Spider-Man where it's just a smiley face on that Miles' face. But that's, mm-hmm. that's like the top tier. And even that is still not the worst art I've seen. There's some artists that, even if it's good, it's still not good. I'm talking about you, Brett Booth.
There you go.
Hey, that guy doesn't do anything anymore, so...
There you go. You officially got him fired from the industry, Garrett. I want to say it's you're talking.
Me?
I said you don't like Bear Booth.
I don't hate him as much as you two do.
I don't know if I ever read a book with Bear Booth. I think it's just Alex. Maybe you think it's the both of us because Alex says it so much. There you go, Alex. You're twice the man to go against Mr. Booth himself. So
I thought we did get something together from him. I thought it was the Batman Superman run. What is his name? He had done the Ozymandias title for like the before Watchmen.
Did he? I didn't read that. Jay Lee.
You did.
What about Titans? Like when New 52 came out?
I was saying Titans, he was on that one. God, what book did he take over? There's a book that he came in like issue 13 and it was awful. And it was a side panel. I'm pretty sure it was the Batman and Superman book.
All right, well, you know.
Could be, yeah.
You know what? We'll bring you an answer next week on what that is. But to play us out today, the new theme song for Mr. AI himself. My name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone, enjoy your spring and keep turning those pages.
We need a better theme song. That theme song sucks ass.